on, Jay.
Come on, Jay.
Let's go, Jay. How's everybody doing?
Good.
You guys have fun last night?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Amen. No bumps or anything like that?
No.
About 10.
About 10. Okay. All right. The title is Endless Devotion. Okay. Now, who's been married here the longest? Mary and Johnny. How long has it been, you guys? Oh, Johnny doesn't remember. 46 years.
Wow.
Holy cow. They should be teaching this class, right? So what is the key to staying together? You know, we've heard the divorce rate's around 50%. I heard around 60%. And then another 30% of the people stay together out of convenience. You know, hey, the kid, we still have the kids here, this and that, finances. So the odds of you making it are very slim. I also heard the divorce rate is going down. You know why? People aren't getting married anymore. The term devotion means deep, steady affection, loyalty, faithfulness, love, attachment, dedicated, consecrated, meaning set apart. And divorce simply means to separate. You know, this divorcing can happen at any age. A lot of people end up getting divorced right after the kids leave. You know why? Because the kids were the glue that held them together. Midlife crisis, all that stuff happens, and you look at it, well, divorce is for the young people, after a few years can't handle it, they bolt. No. My dad got divorced in his 70s, okay? And it's his third wedding. Divorce can happen any time. How are you going to stay together? What holds it together? Well, I got the answer. 2 Kings chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
You ready? What's it going to take to keep you going for the long haul? Well, surprisingly, I found out that golf has a lot to do with marriage. I'm glad that Chris brought that up. You know, we've got the golf course right back here.
Yeah.
We have any golfers in here?
That'd be me.
Oh, we don't have any golfers. Oh, interesting. All right. Marriage bears a fascinating resemblance to golf. It is harder than it first looks. Can be very frustrating. Is full of unexpected hazards. Can never really be mastered. And is marvelously fulfilling when you get it right. But you are never really free to enjoy golf at a high level until you master the basics. So too with being a husband. You know, it's challenging. You know, crazy things have happened. I love golf, right? Crazy things have happened while I went golfing. One time I went out with my neighbor trying to reach out to the guy, and he drives this ball and goes about 15 yards and nails a bird in flight.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. We all went, how does that happen? I said, man, if you tried to do that, you couldn't do that. Poor guy, I killed a bird. You know, it's weird. You know, one time I went out with a good friend of mine and his father-in-law, it was his birthday, and he has this weird swing, right? Takes the driver, and he goes like this, winds up, then he stops, and goes like that. I was like, what is that? I was like, and the weird thing is this ball, it was only about this high off the ground, but it went about 280 yards.
Whoa!
I thought, what a lucky shot. So, the next hole, he does the same thing. Bam. And I look at his father-in-law, I go, and he goes, seems to work for him, man. I'm not going to try to change this guy. And you know, there's the thing about golf is there's so many variables to the thing, okay? And it's very frustrating. But if you have a good day, you get bit by the bug. And you're like, this is fun. I remember one time I nailed this drive, and the guy said, you're an animal. That's me. I'm an animal. Ah. Then there's this guy who is a lawyer and a good friend of mine, and he could have gone professional golf, all right? So he brings out these old beat-up golf clubs, right? 280 yards on the green. First swing. I was like, do that again. Boom, does it again. I'm like, how does that happen? And see, there's all these variables. The wind, the weather. Yeah. You know, you're on the green. Is it wet? Is it, you know, you got to think of all these things.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, how can I master this? Now, why am I talking about golf? You may be wondering. Okay, let me enlighten you. Many men, all right, are devoted to golf. Question is, are they devoted to their wife? Can you master your wife? And you know what I'm talking about. Are you a student of your wife? Oh, I'm not into golf. I can't relate with what you're saying. Okay, let's baseball. You know, I know a guy who can tell you who was pitching second inning World Series 1982. But he doesn't know what his wife's favorite color is. You guys know what your wife's favorite color is?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Oh, but maybe it's football.
Oh.
My favorite team. Okay, I was watching the episode of Everybody Loves Raymond, right?
Oh.
Love that. There's so much marriage stuff in that thing, right? And they have some friends over and blah, blah, and they want to see their wedding video. So he puts it in, and before she puts it in, she puts it in, and a Super Bowl comes on. Bad, man. She's like, you know, that kind of thing. Pop it out. He says, we're in a hurry, and I didn't know it was the wedding. She shows the video, and it's wedding video. And he's like, then, of course, his goofy brother comes walking in, this tall, goofy guy, comes walking in, and they're fighting. He says, what's going on? And well, they explain it to him. He goes, well, what Super Bowl was it? Then his dad comes in. What Super Bowl was it? Same thing. So she's ticked, right? She wants marriage counseling. She needs marriage counseling. So they get with the priest. And he says, what Super Bowl was it? Yes! Brutal! You know where I'm going here? People are devoted to certain things. One time I went to a brother's house, okay? I went to this brother's house. I like to do that just to kind of see what's going on. And he had these pictures. This guy was into fishing and hunting. And he had him standing by this, you know, and this and this and this and, you know, all these pictures around here. And I said, hey, bro, you got any pictures of your wife?
Oh, wow.
You got any pictures of you guys together? Do you flaunt that stuff? Or do you flaunt your wife? Right. You see where I'm going here? You know, in Wisconsin, there's a week called Widow's Week. Okay, Bob knows what I'm talking about.
I know it's
time. It's deer hunting season.
Yeah.
It's called, because shotgun and rifle season is just only a week long, about 10 days.
Come on.
The Friday before, they cancel schools. Because, yeah, it's intense. I mean, the whole state, you know, is in movement. And there's a lot of money. They kill over 650,000 deer in a year.
Oh,
not kidding. Not kidding. In a week. 10 days. 10 days. Okay, they call it Widow's Week. All right?
Wow.
The biggest challenge for the men on Sunday mornings is, do I go to the Packer game or do I go hunting?
Yep.
What do I do? Now, if I got my buck, hey, I'll go to the game and I'll still wear my blaze orange. And you watch it, that Sunday, they're still wearing their blaze orange because they can still go out in the morning before they get there. Okay. Now, the women, you're not off the cuff here. Okay, the women kind of love this week. Because now they have an excuse. Yes, they have an excuse. He's going to spend all this money on all this gear, ammunition. Got to have them shotgun shells. And driving, you have all the stuff that it takes, all the beer, all that. Well, hey, go ahead, honey. I'm going to spend all this money. And they're up front with it. Now, what's the husband going to do? Have fun, honey. They don't want to create an issue before you go. Enjoy. Now, for me, it was very challenging because, hey, I was in the jewelry industry, and they would have these huge jewelry things that opening day. Oh, man, what do I do? And when we were living on the farm, I ended up going, because I love my wife, okay, and I decided to go to this whole jewelry thing to sell jewelry, right? And I'm loading up the car, and I see a guy. I told the guy he could sit my stand. And on the farm, I could see my stand. And I saw him shoot a buck on my stand. And I was going to have a heart attack, man. Brutal. People getting into these things. You know, now we've moved to Chicago, right? There's a lot of deer here. They don't get killed off, and they're in the forest preserve. All right? And we live across from the forest preserve. And the deer come out in front of our yard. And all the neighbors think it's kind of cool. They bring them food and stuff. They all come out, bucks. I'm like, Carmen's standing next to me, and she goes, Dad, you ever struggle with, like, wanting to kill one of those? And I'm like, what do I say? So, this is brutal. So, anyways, you know, my daughters love venison more than they do beef. They'll take venison steak over beef steak any time. And Carmen goes, how do you think they would feel if they knew we eat deer? I don't know. It wouldn't be good. Okay. So the whole thing here is devotion. What do you give your heart over to? And see, we got to understand, if you're not devoted to your spouse, how things happen. There's only one other thing you can devote yourself to more than your spouse, and that is to God. Because God is love. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2.
Come on,
there's a lot of examples of devotion in the Bible. I thought this would be a great one.
Amen.
It says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. And Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said, Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. You look at this relationship, and you know that they have forged a unity. Okay? And he's repeatedly told that he's going to leave. And he says, "I will not leave you." And he's repeatedly good. In verse 3, he says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." Verse 5, he says the same thing. "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." And this is his heart. "I will not leave you." Is this your resolve in your marriage? "I will never, ever leave you. Never." Is there any doubt in your mind? "He may leave me. She may leave me. I don't know if I fully know for sure." And the thing that we got to do is we got to destroy that kind of thinking.
Right.
And we need to help each other destroy that kind of thinking. There needs to be an attack on that kind of thinking. We need to set each other up for victory.
Right. Come on.
You got to destroy any influences. You got to repair any cracks in the armor. You got to get help. If you guys feel any little inkling, you got to aggressively get help because Satan is going after it. You better believe it. Turn to Song of Songs.
Thanks, bro. Come on.
Song of Songs. See if you can relate with this. Chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes, that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Now he's talking about the whole marriage relationship in the whole book. And he says, there's little foxes. Now if you're a farmer, you know what that means.
Wow.
You know that these little things get in everywhere. And they kill things on your farm. And you set traps, and they're smart, they get around it. You try all the sorts of things, and they eat things away, slowly but surely. And see, that's what marriage is like. There's little foxes that are tearing away at your marriage. Little incidences that come up and will rip apart this and that. And little by little, if you don't really heal, it gets worse and worse. And those little cracks get bigger and bigger.
Yep.
You got to create the perfect environments for unity and not for destruction. You got to think ahead. This is a battle. Guys, divorce rate is up there. Now, there's a reason we don't have divorce in our church. It doesn't happen.
Right.
That is not coincidental.
Yep.
It's just not, we're just a great group of people.
That's right.
That's not true. We're a bunch of sinners.
Right.
And yet, we know that if we don't go again after this thing, it's going to destroy us.
Right.
You know, a number of years ago, Barb got a phenomenal job, okay, in Milwaukee. She got this amazing job. And she made a lot of money. She was an executive. Many of you guys don't know that. She was an executive for the Boy Scouts. Yeah. And she was pulling in the bucks. It was kind of nice. And of course, I was just starting out my business, and we're starting to get that rolling. And Barb had a lot of pressure on her. All right? She just had a baby. Okay. See where this is going. And it was nice, that paycheck, but Barb was not happy. They start putting pressure on her to do things that wasn't right. Okay, even in the Boy Scouts. And she had to stand up to her boss a number of times. But there was this stress and pressure. You guys know what I'm talking about? Corporate world. And, you know, we had a few D-times on that. And I had to make a decision. Is it more important for my wife to be happy or for me to have the money? Okay? And see, what we've got to do is we got to set each other up for success. She wanted to be with our daughter. It's Tracy. She wanted to be with Tracy. She wanted to be at home. If I made a decision, okay, quit your job and help me with the business. And it was a step of faith. But I began to realize how God blesses that. I mean, she was fired up. She was ready to go after whatever she had to do for my business, became our business. And we began, it was amazing. Let's just put it there. But the thing is, you know, we have to look at our own lives and say, what do I care about? What's valuable to me? Is your spouse's love of life more important than what you want? And those are the tough decisions you got to make. But how do you value success? Is success the amount of money you have, the big house, or is it joy in the household? Does that make sense? Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 2. The little foxes, they will rip you apart. 2 Kings chapter 2 in verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said, Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. And what's going on there? First of all, there's an honor going on. Do you honor each other? Do you look at each other as valuable? Do you say, listen, I love this part of you. I want to imitate it. You know, I wish you guys knew my wife like I know my wife. She's an amazing woman. And there are things that she does. Man, I can't believe it. I'm like, how did you think of that? Where did you come up with that? Husbands, you know what I'm talking about? I tell a lot of people, she makes me look good. Huh?
You do, bro.
Do you value your spouse?
Yes.
I want to be like you in this area. This is a strength you have. I need to have a double portion of that. And see, that's what it comes down to. If you think and see each other in that light, you'll treat each other that way. You have incredible value. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says a cord of three strands binds us together. It's not quickly broken. And you think about God binds the marriage together, but it's got to be spiritual. If you don't have spiritual marriage, it's going to suffer. You can be ripped apart. With God wrapping himself around it, Satan can't win.
Right.
And see, the challenge for us is to make the marriage spiritual.
Yes.
Got to have quiet times. Got to pray together.
Amen.
There's nothing that Barb loves more than for me to go on a prayer walk with her in the morning or sit down and do a study with her. Guys, do you sit down with your wives and study the Bible?
Come on.
Wives, do you look at your husband with all the awesomeness he is, or do you tear him down? Do you have your list? Okay, you did this, you did that, what's your problem? You messed up. You know, a lot of husbands leave because somebody else is going to give them the pluses. And it's the same thing with the wives. And so the challenge for us is seeing each other as God does. In Corinthians it says we no longer look at each other from a worldly point of view.
Right.
Are you spiritual in your conversations? Do you value the spirit behind it? You know, there's a number of things that people use to hold the marriage together. You got the physical relationship. You got to have it. All right? Or else, you know, it suffers. You got to have the emotional, where there's that heart behind it. The crying, the weeping, creeping, anything that comes. Oh, I gotta learn that one from Jay. Okay. The look. Okay, now you threw me off. Okay, let's back up. All right, now, for those of you who are older. Okay, things start changing. All right? Okay. You don't look the same as you did when you first met. Yeah. Okay. So if that physical thing is all that holds it together, guess what? It's going to be ugly. The emotional tie, if your heart is into golf and football, that stuff breaks down. But the spiritual outside of things is the glue that holds it together.
Right, come on.
Got to be united. What happens if your spouse were in a car accident?
Yeah.
You know, can't walk for the rest of their life.
Right.
Are you devoted?
Come on.
Isn't that what the vows say? Rich or poor, you know, sickness, health, all that kind of stuff. What happens when the fire is snuffed out by sin?
Yeah.
You're going to sin against each other. That's not a, you know, surprise. It's going to happen.
Right.
Can you forgive? That's the spiritual aspect of things that we're talking about. Can you forgive? Or is there a pride there that you're going to play God? No, I'm not going to forgive you. And that pride says, listen, I'm better than you. That I'm not as bad as you. That's why I can't forgive you. That's what's going on. Bitterness. You know that, he says, double portion. You got to prize each other.
Yeah.
And everywhere. You know, in verse 11, it says, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. What does it take to separate you guys? What is it going to take? Is it going to take the hand of God before you'll be separated?
Amen.
Is it going to be death? Or can it be anything else? You gotta figure this thing out. Is it illness?
Wow.
Is it sin? Is it finances?
Wow.
What's going to steal your heart? Now, I want you guys to think about something here. Okay, and if anything you walk away today, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about your spouse and what it's going to be like 20 years from now.
Okay.
30 years from now. 40 years from now. For some of us, that's getting up there. Okay.
Yeah.
When you're in your 80s and your 90s, what's it going to be like?
Come on,
you will be different. Things change, things happen. You're going to be different. You got to realize your kids grow up and they leave. Your friends leave too. They move.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them die.
Wow.
You know, people fall away.
Right.
And it can hurt. Mm-hmm. But your spouse is going to be there, hopefully. That's the challenge.
Right.
You know, I love those movies that have old people doing stuff together. I remember this one where the wife is in the bathroom, the husband's watching TV or something. And the doorbell rings. And the wife goes, can you get that? And he says, can you get that? And they can't hear each other, okay? And they're both sitting there. Then they hear the doorbell. Can you get that? Can you get that? And you hear the doorbell, and they both get up. They start walking over to the door. And then they look at each other, and then they open the door. The person's gone. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. You can't hear each other. You can't, you know, the scene's gone. And then the one says the other, oh, what was I doing? And I don't know. You know, it's just that kind of thing. That's going to be our lives. You got to help each other out. Do you know where I put my teeth? I don't know. Oh, these are yours, I think. Oh! That's what I'm talking about. Things change. I want you to think about your spouse. What it's going to be like when they're 80 and 90 years old. And realize there's not going to be anybody else around for you. Not for the long haul, not like that. And we need to remember what that's going to be. And think back to this day when we're 80 or 90. And say, you know, it's because I made these decisions.
Right.
And realizing, you know, thank you so much, God, for giving me someone to put up with me for that long.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's a uniqueness and an appreciation that nobody else can ever feel except for between the two of you.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to help each other through those times, the suffering. You're going to have to watch your spouse suffer.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. You guys, any of you guys ever had tough life? John, Mary, any tough situations?
No.
you got to be able to wrap God around it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to close. We're going to do something here. I want you to turn to your spouse. And I want you to say this. Yeah, you got to come up here. What's the deal with that? And I want you to say, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I didn't say to kiss. Amen. Let's have a prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for our spouse. God, I pray that we will encourage each other and love each other as they deserve. They're your child, God. Thank you for giving them to us. I pray, God, that what we do encourages a dark world. That we will show them what love is through our marriage. And that we'll inspire the church too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.